Welcome to this episode of Bench Talk. At the time of this recording, it's December 2022. We're at episode 31, and I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about the direction of where Bench Talk is going, and as well, me, Jackie Mitchell of Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting, where I'm going as well. You know, you're going to see a lot of changes in the upcoming year and beyond, which is a good thing. My hope is that with each upcoming episode, you'll see our pivot and shift to more topics and special guests aligned with our focus on leadership and professional development. And of course, life. We'll still talk about everything in between as it relates to us as high achievers, leaders, women, top performers, and all around amazing women that we are. So claim it. So with that, as we sit here on the bench, let's get into it. Let's spend the next 20 minutes or so on the bench talking about the effects leadership has had on us and what companies can do to start paying attention to their most valuable assets, their people. We're at the time of the year, like I said, this is December 2022 at the time of this recording. So we're at the time of the year when companies want to start showing gratitude to their employees for the work they've done all year long. They usually start by giving stats on how well or how bad the company is doing. They'll attribute the spike in sales or revenue to each and every one of you, air quotes, or they'll attribute their decline in revenue to the market conditions and speak of areas of opportunity for the upcoming year or quarter. This is typical. I want to talk about the effects these emails, these town hall meetings, or just the communications they have on each and every one of you, of us. Great companies miss the mark. Every year they miss the mark. Leadership will receive and read reports all day about how well the company is doing. They'll trace it back to many variables and factors. Why? Because they love data. They collect it. They collect it all day long. They slice it, drill down, drill up, consolidate, export, transform, and load it into highly expensive systems that create beautiful charts that can explain just about anything. So, you know, in crime stories, they say, follow the money and it'll tell the whole story. Well, when it comes to business, follow the data. It'll tell the story. Argue with me on garbage in and garbage out, but it'll still tell the story. It'll tell the story of your gaps if we're talking about garbage in, garbage out. But I'm not here today to do a deep dive on data analytics. I want to deep dive into data that most companies do not collect. They damn near neglect it. Employee data, not demographics. I'm talking about employee data that tells the story of how well you are doing as a people company. How well do you treat your employees, and how well is your leadership team leading you to success with your employees? I said I wanted to talk about the impact of leadership on its employees. This is going to be a two-part series. I'm going to focus on the impact and problem here in part one, and in part two, I'm going to focus on the solution. So let's dive in. Head first, bad leadership and quiet quitting. Let's focus there. So here's the impact of bad leadership or ineffective leadership, if that's an easier pill to swallow. Here are the impacts: high employee turnover, attrition, mediocre results, very few top performers. Management is not leadership. They are not synonymous. This is more of a definition rather than an impact, but there is an impact here. No open door policy or safe space for employees to turn to without the feeling of retaliation. There's no trust. Mistakes and failures come with disproportionate consequences. PIPs that don't work. And PIPs, what a PIP is, PIP stands for Performance Improvement Plans. So how do I know that these are the impacts of bad leadership or ineffective leadership? As someone who supports high achievers with their career goals, I've heard the stories, good and bad. Someone with 20 plus years in tech, I've experienced some of this to a certain degree. And as someone who is in a leadership role, getting things done through other people, I know what I talk about. I want to dive a little bit more into the impact of ineffective leadership. When you have ineffective leadership, the things that I just listed or just listed out, high employee turnover. That's a big one. High employee turnover. Are we looking at that data? Are we tracing that data back to any particular department? Are we tracing that data back to any particular event? Are we tracing that data back to any particular manager? Are we tracing that data back to any particular leader? Another thing that I want to point out with the list, I'm just going to pull a few key things. Mediocre results. When you have ineffective leadership, it's very hard, very challenging, I would say, very challenging to have a team collectively that's a winning team. If you're ineffective as a leader, more times than not, you will be ineffective in producing results. You'll be ineffective in hitting your goals. You'll be ineffective in realizing objectives. Are we collecting that data? You know, we'll call them KPIs, you know, key performance indicators. Are we really looking at that data as it relates to our effectiveness as leaders? If not, you will miss the mark every time. You will miss the mark in being a great company, not by the products or services that you sell, but by the people that you serve and support and those that serve and support you. Are we looking at these indicators, this data? If we're not looking at this data, there's no way we can tell as leaders, are we really doing what's best for the organization? Aside from having amazing, amazingly great products and services, you can't have that and have miserable employees. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But, you know, I've been on both sides, and it has always amazed me and bothered me as well that there are people in key positions who completely miss this mark. Like I said, you can have a company with an amazing disruptive product or service and still have shitty leadership. It'll only go so far. And history has proven that. And we've still not learned the lesson, nor are we collecting this data. And it's really not difficult to collect. A lot of it is subjective, but we want to look at subjective data because it will start to tell a story. You'll be able to start to connect the dots. Things aren't adding up here. Why isn't it adding up? Let's start talking to our people. Let's start listening to our people. Let's start utilizing the information that they are providing and see how do we connect the dots, right? So look at what's happening in some of the top companies in the news today. Tech companies, right? I don't even have to name the names, but you see what's going on at a macro level. Times have changed so much in how companies attract top talent. It used to be where companies back in the early 2000s, late 1990s, I want to say around that time, where you know, companies were trying to model Google and other tech companies that, wanted to provide a fun workspace, this fun and amazing workspace. My personal opinion on that, no one asked, but I will give you my personal opinion. A lot of that was distraction, but they wanted to provide a fun workspace. So what do? They knocked down walls. They started bringing in, arcade games, new types of furniture. Walls are painted in lighter colors, open, just an open, more of an open physical space, and it was almost overnight. Fridays were fun days, where there's free popcorn or free drinks. Some companies went as far as having happy hour during the middle of the day. Things like that enticed a lot of workers. It drew them to those companies. We're in a space right now where that no longer holds. People are looking for different things. They're looking for depth. They're looking for substance. To me, again, my unpopular opinion, those things were very surface level, right? And did not necessarily attract top tier talent. Didn't necessarily keep top tier talent. So here we are in a day and age where remote working is the norm, has become the norm. How are you attracting your talent? How are you attracting top performers? How are you retaining your top performers? It has to go deeper than the physical space. It has to go deeper than the bright lights and the colors and the free lunch, things like that. People aren't looking for that anymore. That's not enticing. That is not the draw anymore. There are certain benefits that obviously would be a draw right now, as in flexibility, remote work, flexibility when it comes to the hours that they're working. But even deeper than that, employees want to know that they're working for companies that align to their values. They want to know that they're working with leaders that are open, that are authentic, that care about what they are doing and the people that work with them. Notice I'm not saying working for. A true effective leader works with their people, right? So let's kind of go back a little bit, talk about these KPIs. How are we collecting this data with how well or not well we're doing as leaders in organizations, in companies? Great companies are being proactive, while ineffective companies are reactive or ignoring the issue altogether. Case in point. You've labeled an employee as a problem or mediocre, not cutting it, not living up to expectations. But when you brought them in, they were the jewel, a gem, a top-tier employee you couldn't wait to get on your team. You only noticed over time that their performance has declined. Your first thought is, what does this employee have going on at home? And here is the point of failure. You've missed the opportunity to be consistent in checking in not only on their performance, but yours and the company as well. You didn't check in and ask how you can support them in their role, how you can help them to be successful. A great leader understands that this is their role when it comes to nurturing and building a top-tier team. And if the issue isn't about skill, competencies, and experience, then you really need to look into what you are doing to support your employee. Sometimes you'll make it solely about the employee. You'll put them on a PIP or not, or get rid of them altogether. And if there isn't a performance improvement plan and they stay on with the company, I'm going to tell you what usually ends up happening. They quit quietly. And I'm not talking about just literally being quiet and quitting, walking out. No, there's a phenomenon called quiet quitting. You can read a lot about it online, but I'm going to break it down in the most simplest terms. Quiet quitting is when an employee has lost all morale and motivation to do their job at the best of their ability. They will do just enough to stay under the radar and figuratively go home. They'll do this until something better comes along, or until they aggressively begin a job search for a better opportunity that wakes them up and gets them excited again. Quiet quitting. Quiet quitting happens very often. When you have a top-tier talent, top performers, high achievers quietly quitting, they've quit on you months before you've even noticed. Maybe even years before. And this snowballs into low morale. It impacts other employees. And most of all, as it relates to the company, it will impact the bottom line. So what's interesting to me is that I've had conversations with people at all different levels of various organizations. And I'll ask about the morale. And, you know, they'll say morale is low. Morale is low. And as I look back on it, you know, we didn't have a name for it back then. There's a name for it now, quiet quitting. That's what we've seen. There's a name for it now. And what are we going to do about it? You know, why is morale low? A lot of times it has nothing to do with salaries, you know, things like that. A lot of times it has to do with the environment. You know, the environment that employees are working in is created by leadership. Those who are in quote unquote power, those who are in positions to make really key decisions on the direction of the company, the culture of the company, how we act, react, and how we behave as a company. What we tolerate, what we don't tolerate, all of that comes into play when we're talking about company culture. You know, it's interesting where people go on interviews and it's like part of the interview is to see if you're a fit. I always find that very interesting. Define the company culture. Truly define the company culture first, before you start to talk about if someone is a fit. And when they're defining the company culture, very rarely do you hear them speak about values as it relates to leadership style. And I'm not talking about leadership styles that you can find off of Google, many different leadership styles that have a name. I'm talking about the personalities and the behavior of those in key positions. That's the culture. That is the culture. And I know I'm going off topic, but that is definitely the culture. So think about the last time you've been on an interview and in the interview process, and you're either told directly or indirectly that, you know, we're going to see if this is a fit or it wasn't a fit. Why wasn't it a fit? Were you asked questions, and did you ask questions about the different personalities? How are things managed? How are failures welcomed? That may sound like an oxymoron. How are failures welcomed? What role does leadership play in certain events, right? And leadership could be at any level. It doesn't have to be at the C level. It could be at any level. Because in what I do and how I do it, as far as supporting professionals in their career, we look at ourselves. And that's what this is about, looking at ourselves. How are we showing up? What are we doing? How are we reacting? Are we reactive? Are we proactive? Are we authentic in what we do? Do we know our values? And I'm going to keep talking about values. You're going to hear that come up a lot, because it's really important to know what works for you and what doesn't work for you. What motivates you and what doesn't motivate you. And that's where you see a lot of resistance and a lot of frustration with people in organizations and companies, because it doesn't align, it doesn't match. And then we try to make it match. When it doesn't match, we get upset and frustrated. We start to quit quietly if we don't, you know, up and leave or give our 2 weeks notice, whatever that is for you. Morale starts to decline. So it's different things like that I want you to think about. You know, how does ineffective leadership impact the company on a whole? How does it impact employees? Quiet quitting is not something to be taken lightly. It does impact absolutely everybody, you know? So employers don't notice this phenomenon until it's too late. Not only that, they don't realize that it's even happening, you know? They'll point the finger at the employee and again state that the employee isn't cutting it. Ineffective leaders will blame and find fault for everything and not look at what their part in this has been. When you have an employee who has the skill and competence to be a top performer and isn't living up to that standard, I'd say that ineffective leaders didn't live up to their end of the bargain. And what that is and what that looks like, that's supporting these employees. And I get it. It's hard sometimes to look at yourself when a relationship has failed. Yes, I said a failed relationship, because that's what this is, a professional relationship that has failed. There's a long-standing meme out there that states, employees don't leave companies, they leave bad managers. And in 2015, Gallup said that this was the case for 75% of employees. I, on the other hand, am inclined to think that percentage has increased. However, I would tend to think more along the lines that employees leave bad leaders more than bad managers. This is why leadership is so important to the health of a company. You know, I teach my clients how to be authentic leaders and how to seek out leaders to work with. They have to align values with the company and with the leader. So my first rule of thumb when working with anyone that comes to me is to get a pulse on their mindset. Are they blaming everyone else for what's not working? Are they taking responsibility for their career and its progress? So I know you've heard me talk explicitly about leadership and the impacts of ineffective and bad leadership on employees. But also, I want to point out that as employees, we have a duty to ourselves first. We must not only look for leaders we can align and work with, we must be leaders first, regardless if we're officially holding that position or if we have direct reports. Because if you cannot lead you, you cannot expect to lead. And also, you would not understand the values, the skills, the traits of what a true effective, efficient leader looks like at the core, not on the surface, because there are key things you would be looking for, right? So although there are many factors, involved in quiet quitting, it's becoming more and more prevalent. And we need to ask ourselves why. As leaders, we need to ask ourselves why. As employees, we need to ask ourselves why. So I'm going to talk to my leaders right now. How many top performers do you have? Are they operating at the same, if not higher, level than when you brought them into your team? Leaders, let's start there. So guys, stay tuned for part two with my solutions and recommendations on how to become more effective in your leadership style. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, download, and share with your friends and colleagues. For more actionable steps and real-world solutions on developing as an authentic leader that everyone will want to work with, download our premium masterclass, Authentic Leadership, today. The link will be in the show notes below. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of Bench Talk. Stay tuned for part two.